Obrigado.
I think that's got it. You hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Well, first of all, I'd like to say good morning to the gentlemen of the commission.
they're whittling us down.
They are.
Aren't they ever, huh?
And can we offer our congratulations to our former commissioner on her ascension to the Board of Supervisors?
Yes, we do. She has gone to a higher place, and I think the county's going to have something to say about that in early comments. So I'm going to bring the commission to order. It is December 10th at 9 o'clock. We've got a pretty full schedule, although there are a couple of continuances on these, and we'll talk about those when we get there. Ramona, could you call the roll, please?
Commissioner Campbell?
Here.
Commissioner Moltari?
Here.
And Chairman Brown?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Okay. Please follow me in the salute to the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible,
with liberty
and justice for all. I have my usual paragraph to read. Instructions in meeting for a script. And I'm going to ask everybody to bear with us today. County planning commissioners, planning staff, and members of the public wishing to provide live public comment are participating in this meeting using Zoom. Alternate methods for public participation can be found attached to the agenda as well as to a link to a Zoom user guide for public participation. The public may watch or listen to the meeting live online, the county website, or on TV. If you are a member of the public wishing to provide live public comment and have joined us by website or smartphone application, when I call for public comment on a specific item, please do so by using the raise hand feature at the bottom of your screen. If you're joining us by phone, press dot or star 9 to raise your hand. When it is your turn to speak, the clerk will unmute your connection, announce your name, or the last three digits of your phone number if you're calling in, and let us know that you're live on the line to make your comments. You will be timed for 3 minutes. If you are streaming the meeting through Channel 21 or the county website and wish to provide the live public comment through Zoom, please log on or call in early as there is an approximate 60-second delay between meeting and the live stream. Please remember to turn down your broadcast volume when speaking during public comment. Okay. At this point, I'd like to call for any public comment on items that are not on the agenda or recordings. And
okay. Thank you, Chair Brown. Good morning, everyone. No pre-recorded messages were received for general public comment. However, if members of the public wish to speak at this time, you can request to speak by using the raise hand feature at the bottom of your screen or by pressing star 9. And I'll give it a few seconds. And I am seeing no request to speak, Chair Brown.
Thank you. It's closed for public discussion. And that moves us to planning staff updates.
Good morning, Chair Brown and Commissioners. This is Alexandra Fowler representing the Planning and Building Department. I'd like to start off with just some general information. Due to the recent resignation of Commissioner Ortiz Lage in response to her appointment by the governor to the Board of Supervisors, we currently only have 3 appointed planning commissioners, as you're aware. Following the MATI Act, staff anticipates that Supervisor Ortiz Lage will make an appointment to fill her District 3 seat on the Planning Commission relatively soon. However, until that appointment is made, we anticipate that there may be at least 2 additional Planning Commission meetings with only 3 appointed members. 3 commissioners, as the clerk announced, constitutes a quorum for the commission to conduct business. This means that all 3 members do need to be present for a meeting to occur. Concerning decision-making, a majority of that quorum, which would be 2 votes, will carry. However, the exceptions are recommendations on amendments to general plan, specific plan, land use ordinance, and coastal zone land use ordinance. Those actions all require at least 3 affirmative votes. If one member has a conflict of interest under the Political Reform Act, such participation may be allowed under the legally required participation rule. However, for all practical and ethical purposes, if presented with that situation, staff would simply recommend that the item be continued to allow for a 4th or 5th commissioner to be appointed and to avoid the conflict interest altogether. County Council and staff are available to provide guidance and to answer any questions that you may have regarding that as we're endeavor through this situation. For the Board of Supervisors action, there's currently no recent reportable actions by the board that are related to land use planning to report out on. But I would like to note that next Tuesday, December 15th, the Board of Supervisors will be considering the Los Osos Community Plan, the Los Osos Habitat Conservation Plan, and the Los Osos Residential Vacation Rental Ordinance. Regarding appeals of Planning Commission actions, there are 6 pending appeals for Board of Supervisors consideration. At this time, staff is in the process of scheduling those items for Board of Supervisors consideration in 2021, and we do anticipate that the majority of those items will be scheduled for hearings between February and May, and I will report out on the exact hearing dates once they are finalized and we know them. Regarding your January...
question, are most of the appeals yes. cannabis?
Yes, 4 of them are cannabis.
Okay.
We anticipate that your January 7th meeting will be canceled unless one or more of the items that are scheduled for today need to be continued to that date. So that brings us to your January 28th meeting, where we currently have 3 items that are tentatively scheduled. The first is a development plan coastal development permit for cannabis activities, including the phased development of indoor cultivation, processing, a nursery, and a parking modification on a 73.5-acre parcel located at 2198 Los Osos Valley Road near the Los Osos Wastewater Facility in the community of Los Osos. The second item is an amendment to change the conditions of approval for a previously approved conditional use permit, and that request is to increase the number of permitted employees and the hours of operation for the permitted cannabis activities, which includes distribution, non-storefront retail, delivery, and manufacturing within an existing structure located at 1189 Pike Lane in the community of Oceano. And the last item is a parcel map and conditional use permit for the creation of 4 parcels for sale and or development, and the proposed construction of 4 retail buildings, 1 on each parcel, ranging in size from 2,700 square feet to 18,000 square feet, for the proposed retail use of a farm supply hardware store, an auto parts store, a restaurant, and a grocery store. The project also includes a request for a 50-foot-tall freeway identification sign, and this project is located at 170 South Frontage Road within the community of Napomo. And this concludes staff's update.
Thank you, staff. Next item is the consent agenda. I do have a question on item 8, conformity report, SLO, county property at Cass Avenue, Cayucas. Is that okay for us to vote on that with three commissioners, is it okay to vote on that item?
Sure.
Darling County Council, yeah, it's perfectly okay. Fine.
All right.
And Commissioner Brown, it really is just a receive and file. The determination is actually made by the director.
Okay.
All right. I have a question on the consent one. I have copies here of July 13th. However, I have a July 15th rather than July 23rd. I don't know if that's of any importance or not, but am I missing one or did we put the wrong date?
Commissioner Campbell, where does it say July 15th on there?
It doesn't, but I have a copy of the July 15th hearing.
What were the items on it, Don?
Oh, let's see if I can find it here.
I think it's the same as the 27th.
Yeah, July 15th. County parks, 400 square foot cabins, parcels and recreation land, additional recreation in El Chorro Regional Park, et cetera, et cetera. Katie Knoll was the person that brought it.
That's the, I believe that's the general plan conformity. Is that right?
Chairman of San Luis Obispo County general plan conformity for cabins at El Chorro Regional Park.
Right. Yeah, that's one of our items. That's okay.
Commissioner Campbell, this is Steve McMasters, Principal Environmental Specialist. That is the date that the determination was made by the Director of Conformity. So the report was delayed until this meeting getting out to the Planning Commission. Usually it follows at the next available one. But that one, because of staff changes, that one kind of slipped through the cracks.
Okay. All right. No problem.
Thank you, Steve.
So, are all the commissioners agreeable with the consent agenda? If so, say aye.
Well, how about a motion?
We need a motion first.
A motion to approve the consent calendar.
And also, Chair Brown, do you want to open public comment for the consent agenda?
Okay.
Okay.
Let's go ahead and open for public comment on consent agenda.
Okay, great. Chair Brown, at this time, we just received a notification that we need to take a short recess for technical issues. So,
okay. Well, 10 minutes?
I believe so. So we'll reconvene. The time is 5 minutes. So the time is 9:14, so 9:20.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Everybody here?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Okay, we were going through the consent agenda. Was there actually any changes? I can't remember.
No, there weren't.
Okay.
And so I'd move approval of the consent calendar.
Second that.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Now we will get to the hearing agenda itself. Ramona, would you please announce the first item?
Hearing item number 9 is a hearing to consider a request by Vicki Hansen for a conditional use permit, coastal development permit, county file number DRC 2020-00069, supervisorial district number 2, Emi Sugiyama, project manager. And if there are any members of the public wishing to comment on this item, please use the raise hand feature at the bottom of your screen or by pressing star 9 if you are joining us by phone. Please do this at this time in order to be ready to be called at the public comment portion of the hearing. Please continue with your presentation, Ms. Sugiyama. Thank you.
Thank you, Ramona. Good morning, Chair Brown and members of the Commission. Emi Sugiyama, planning staff, here today to discuss DRC 2020-00069. This is a request for a modification of the 20,000 square foot minimum site area standard to allow for the expansion of an existing residential care facility from 6 residents or beds to 8 residents or beds on an existing 6,480 square foot lot. In order to accommodate the expanded use, the project would make use of the existing 4-bedroom, 3-bathroom house, as well as convert an existing basement area into a bedroom and make use of an as-built addition of a bedroom and a bathroom. As this is an as-built addition, there would be no new ground disturbance. The project is located in the Lodge Hill area of the community of Cambria off of Berwick Drive and is within the residential single-family land use category surrounded by residential uses. Here you can see an aerial view of the site. And here is the overall site plan. This is the first floor of the existing residence with 4 previously permitted bedroom areas. And here is the second or lower floor of that same residence with a basement or storage area that was previously permitted, proposed to be converted for use as a bedroom. And that area is outlined in green in this slide. As well as as previously mentioned, the project would include the as-built addition of a bedroom and bathroom, and that as-built addition area is outlined on this slide in red. And here you can see the southern elevation with the as-built addition shown here on the left side with the stairs going over it. And with that, staff recommends that you approve the permit based on the findings listed in Exhibit A and conditions listed in Exhibit B. I would like to note that the project's agent, Jeff Edwards, is also here and available for questions. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Edwards?
Mr. Edwards, the clerk is requesting to unmute your connection, and it looks like you have been unmuted.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. My name is Jeff Edwards, and I'm representing Cherish House Retreat. I appreciate staff's work on this. And I'd like to make note that the NCAC reviewed this application and approved it unanimously. And really, I'm here for any questions you may have. I know you've got a full agenda today. So with that, we have reviewed the conditions and the findings, and those are agreeable. So unless there are any questions, I just ask that you approve this matter today and wish you a speedy meeting today. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Thank you, Chair Brown. For members of the public wishing to speak on this hearing item, please request by using the raise hand feature at the bottom of your screen or by pressing star 9 at this time. And no request for comments.
Yeah, thank you. Questions from commissioners? Comment.
Just one question for Emmy. Is the existing 8 bedrooms extant now, and this is just kind of legalizing it?
Yes.
Okay. Well, it seems like this isn't, I'm always hesitant to approve things after the fact, where somebody does something and then comes in for the permit afterwards. But in this case, the neighbors don't care. The advisory council has approved it. It's an important use in our community. And so I'd recommend approval. And if you want a motion, I'd do that.
Yes, please.
Chair Brown, just real quick, a point of clarification. It's not 8 bedrooms, it's 8 beds.
8 beds. Thank you. Thanks. I understand. So I would move approval of this use permit and conditional coastal permit. And based on the findings and subject to the conditions provided in our staff report.
I will second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye. Aye.
You want a roll call vote on that?
Probably a roll call is appropriate.
Probably a roll call is called for.
Probably a roll call is called for.
Commissioner Moultrie?
Yes.
Commissioner Campbell?
Yes.
And Chairman Brown?
Yes.
The motion passes.
Okay. Next item, Ramona.
Hearing item number 10 is a hearing to consider a request by Jerry Ambrose and AT&T Mobility for a conditional use permit. County file number DRC 2019-00225. Supervisorial District Number 3, Matt Ringel, Project Manager. And if there are any members of the public wishing to comment on this item, please use the raise hand feature at the bottom of your screen or by pressing star 9 if you are joining us by phone. Please do this at this time in order to be ready to be called at the public comment portion of the hearing. Please continue with your presentation, Mr. Ringel. Thank you.
Good morning, Chairman Brown, members of the Planning Commission. This is Matt Ringel with County Planning and Buildings. Jerry Ambrose and AT&T Mobility Conditional Use Permit, DRC 2019-00225, is scheduled for Planning Commission hearing this morning. Planning staff is requesting this item to be continued off calendar to allow sufficient time to substantively respond to public comments received on December 8th and 9th. Thank you.
Thank you. So what I'd like to do is hear from anybody in the public that would like to speak on the issue of the continuance, and then we'll bring it back to the commission and vote on the continuance. I don't want to go through the detail on this because when it does come back, we'll have to do it again. We won't remember a lot of the details, probably new planning commissioners. So I think I'd prefer it just goes to this straight continuance. Do we have anybody? Okay.
Yes, we do have a request, live public comment request to speak. And just to clarify, Chair, you would like to just, for members of the public, they are strictly to speak on the continuance of the item,
yes,
not related to any issues regarding the project.
That's right.
Okay, very good. We do have one request.
John, with County Council, I don't know if that's necessarily permissible.
Okay.
In order to limit exactly what it is that they can and can't speak to, if it was agendized as the item itself. So our recommendation is to allow those individuals to speak on the project itself. And if they speak again later on, you can limit their discussion so it's not repetitive.
Yeah, John, that's fine, but that's in actuality, it's very, very hard to limit somebody.
No, I understand. But in terms of regulating, you know, their speech right now, it was agendized as the general item itself. So our recommendation
is to... Well, I would just ask the public to remember,
right,
or to keep in mind that this is only for a continuance, and they will have their time to speak when it does.
All right, but I think that's not what our county council just said. Aren't we opening it for those ready to
hear? We are. I am advising those speaking that they'll have another chance to speak about this when it does.
That's a fine comment, but...
So, yes, they can talk about it now, okay, but they'll have to talk about it again, and that's okay if they do.
Progeny.
I'm trying to get through the meeting.
Thank you, Chair. We did have some requests to speak. They have since lowered their hand, but I will give them an opportunity, as County Council mentioned, to speak on this hearing item. And I believe we're having Mr. Steve Johnson is requesting to speak. So, Mr. Johnson, we see that you had your hand up, and we will attempt to unmute your connection in this, if you would like to speak on this hearing item.
Hello? Okay.
Yes, Mr. Johnson, you're live.
Thank you. Steve Johnson, adjoining landowner. Good morning, honorable commissioners. I certainly will respect your wishes to make public comment the next time this matter comes up, if and when it does. I am not opposed to the continuance request by the staff so they can check into the facts and law of this situation more. I'm all for it being open and determining what the true situation is. So thank you very much, and I look forward to talking with you again.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. We do have another request to speak from Mandy George. We will attempt to unmute your connection, and you will have 3 minutes to speak, and you are live.
Hi, my name is Mandy George. I'm a property owner. I live just in the next property over, and I, from what I understand, you guys are just continuing it, but I did want to say that I was for this. I think it's a safety thing, and I think it would be great for our road and our area to have the safety of a cell tower in our area. So thank you very much, and I guess we'll speak again when it comes back on.
I believe so.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ms. George. The next request to speak is by Jay George. We will now attempt to unmute your connection, and you will have 3 minutes to speak. So, for the member of the public joining the meeting as Jay George, we are attempting to unmute your connection, and you have been unmuted, and you will have 3 minutes to speak. And if you could please identify your full name for the record. Okay, Mr. Jay George, you just raised your hand and you're unmuted. So if you would like to make comments.
Perhaps he'll join us when we finally do get to the actual hearing of this item.
I am seeing no additional requests to speak, Chair.
Okay. Close it for public comment. Bring it back to the commission. Commissioners?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I would move continuance off calendar, but I would like to make just a couple of suggestions to the staff and the applicants as you look at the substantive responses to the what we heard. One is what was raised is the access question and whether they actually have legal access over the easement for this use. The other thing I would note is that, like some of these other cell towers, when they originally come to us, this one is proposed very close to the property line, and it's a much bigger piece of property, so alternate locations might make sense. And then thirdly, I went back and looked at the other previous cell towers that we reviewed this last year, and this one is approximately twice as high as them, twice as tall. And so it would seem that as you're during this continuance time, if you would look at places where it could be set back further and maybe not quite so massive, that might be helpful to us when we return to substantively review this.
Good comments.
So with that.
If I may discuss this, I spent quite a bit of time driving around the area yesterday, as a matter of fact. I come to the same conclusions that Commissioner Moltari comes to, and I think it would be important, because that's what you're going to hear about at the next hearing. So I do recommend, as he does, that we take this, Matthew, into consideration for the continuance and perhaps look a little further. There are some big, nice, tall pine trees in some other locations that are away from this private driveway for residential use and away from lots of residents where people are living. So anyway, I concur with Mr. Moltari's comments, and perhaps we can put it in better shape next time we hear it.
So okay, with that, I'd move to continue this off calendar.
I'll second that.
Okay. Moved and seconded, and I guess we'll take another roll call.
Commissioner Moltari?
Yes.
Commissioner Campbell?
Yes.
And Chairman Brown?
Yes.
The motion passes.
Thank you, Matthew.
Okay. I think we're on to Toad Creek.
Hearing item 11 is a hearing to consider a request by Toad Creek Terrace, LLC, for a vesting tenant of tract map, tract 3132, and concurrent conditional use permit. County file number SUB2019-00046, supervisorial district number 1, project manager Shawnee Seong. And if there are any members of the public wishing to comment on this item, please use the raise hand feature at the bottom of your screen or by pressing star 9 if you are joining us by phone. Please do this at this time in order to be ready to be called at the public comment portion of the hearing. Please continue with your presentation, Ms. Seong.
Hello. Thank you, Ramona. Good morning, Chair Brown and members of the Planning Commission. This morning, we have a request by Toad Creek Terrace, LLC, for a vesting tentative tract map with a concurrent conditional use permit. The applicant would like to subdivide an existing 5.63-acre parcel into 20 residential lots with a dedicated open space and also a remainder parcel. This project is designed as a cluster plan development with 20 small residential parcels ranging from 1760 to 2760 square feet in size. On each of these lots, the applicant is going to propose an average 1800 square foot residences with 2-car garages. The project also includes a public trail, easement along Toad Creek, abandonment of the front street, which is the Old County Road, and several ordinance modification and adjustment requests. This project is located at a corner of Old County Road and Las Tablas Road, east of Highway 101. It is in the residential single-family land use category. Here we have the aerial view of the site. It is currently undeveloped. It's outlined here in red, the extent of the site. And as you can see, Toad Creek runs through the site with all the thick riparian vegetation van shown here on this picture. This is an unique parcel with several factors that add to the general development constraints. So mainly, number one, access to the site is only from an unimproved portion of Old County Road. This road is already partially abandoned by the fronting lots, and we're going to show it here with the blue strip. This is the portion that's already abandoned, half of it. Public Works does not recommend this portion of Old County Road extension to connect into Main Street. Instead, they'd like to see that the main entry into South Main Street will be from Gibson. And on top of that, Public Works has also indicated that a future realignment of Las Tablas Road, it will connect the bend here, and it's going to go straight towards Gibson Road, as shown on this orange strip here. This meant that the applicant had to dedicate a 30-foot roadway easement for this future road alignment. So now we have the track map, the tentative track map, rotated so that the Old County Road is sitting now at the bottom of the view. The portion of the Old County Road that was already abandoned is now shown hatched in the dark blue. And then this project will abandon the remaining half of the Old County Road, shown with the light blue portion.
Will that be demolished, the whatever paving or the old road sections, will that be, the cement be taken away, and what will that be used for?
It will be surfaced and improved, but it will act like a private driveway, a private access road for the subdivision.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, this site has a creek, as we all know. The Tok Creek runs through it. It presented additional constraint on the site. So with the blue, as you can see with the blue dotted line, it marks the extent of the 100-year flood limit. And the squiggly green line shows the riparian setback along this creek. So due to all the constraints on this site, the applicant team has proposed and designed the track as a clustered planned development using small residential lot design standards. The cluster and the planned development standards allow for flexible siting with variable setbacks, and the small residential lot design standards allow for parcels to be as small as 1750 square feet. This project meets all the minimum open space required for the overall subdivision by providing common gathering areas. And this is all shown in the yellow hatched area. I'm trying to show where the common areas are. And also an open space easement that will be covering the entire creek corridor, as shown here in this large area that is in color green, is in a green color. So then the applicant is also going to be granting a linear easement along the creek bank for a future public trail. Here we have a preliminary landscape plan showing the general planting concepts. The open gathering spaces are kind of nestled along the edge of the development at the rear next to the creek, and then a public trail easement running along the top of the creek, shown in the red hatch line. As for the architectural design, the project proposes three different design options, which provides for a variety of articulation and design interest. So here's the view, like a visual simulation of the first row of houses, as seen from that private access road that will be abandoned. These are designed as three-story houses, but they will look like two-story houses from this main road because the terrain here naturally slopes down towards the creek. And here we can see the same row of houses at the rear view, and we can see the full three stories with the garages at the lowest level. This is the front view of the second row of houses closest to the creek. And this is the rear view of those houses. And this is taken from like a creek channel, open space area, this viewpoint. So as designed, this project meets all the general standards for planned development, cluster subdivision, small residential lot design, the minimum required open space and density requirements, the planning area standards, and Templeton community design standards. However, this project is requesting several ordinance modifications and adjustments. So in order to make the development work on this site, the applicant is requesting that exception to the standard that requires street tree planting at every 25 feet. Instead, they are going to be proposing planting in between the houses and also along the public areas at the rear near the creek. The applicant is requesting an adjustment for a reduced road width from 40 feet to 24 feet, which the Templeton Fire and Public Works have given their clearances on. And adjustments to allow for the private road to serve more than five parcels, and also special setbacks to be established through this vesting map and conditional use permit. They're also asking a modification of the 16-foot garage front setback to allow for a variable 0 to 3 feet setback. And finally, they're asking for exception to the small residential lot design standard that limits the third stories to 75% of the lower floor area, and instead to allow the third stories to be larger than that. So all these requested adjustments and modifications have been analyzed, reviewed, and can be supported based on all the findings described in Exhibit A and C. So with all these, staff is recommending adoption of the revised mitigated negative declaration and also approval of this project based on the findings in Exhibit A and C and the conditions in Exhibit B and D. This concludes my presentation. The applicant's team is online. They can answer questions, and I believe they're going to give a short presentation also, and I will be available. Thank you.
Okay, I have a question for you. What was TAG's response, the advisory group's response to this project?
They're looking for a compliance with the Templeton design standards, which we have shown within one of the exhibits where we provided a table how they meet all the design guidelines. And also the creek setback, basically.
They're asking for a creek setback?
No, they're asking that the project meets this creek setback, which this project does.
It does.
Brown,
okay.
I talked to two TAG representatives, and they have analyzed this from front to back. And as you know, they're a very active group for Templeton, and they have approved the project.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I have some questions, if that's okay.
I do, too. Go ahead.
Until we hear, or do you want me to ask them now?
Go ahead, ask them. No.
Okay. Shawnee, can you show the site plan again, please?
Sure.
By the way, thank you for the reports, the written and oral. Appreciate that.
Thank you. Is it this one or the one with all the alignment?
Ms. Young, if you want to share your screen.
I'm sorry. Okay. Is this up?
The one that actually, well... No, go back one, or go forward one, I think. Shows the actual the buildings on the site.
Oh, okay. The one that shows the outline or footprint?
Yeah, that
okay.
will work. Mm-hmm. So the abandoned right-of-way of Old County Road is now goes to the commercial properties to the east?
Yes.
Okay. And so, So when those develop, one of them's developed, but when those properties develop, they're going to take access from Main Street, almost certainly. And so the back of this abandoned area is going almost for sure going to be parking lot. It's going to be parking or something in the rear of those commercial. So what we're going to have is a row of houses that will be facing their own private drive and probably a wall or a fence and then a parking lot, a commercial parking lot. what I'm curious about, I don't have, let me just start out by saying to you and to the applicants, I don't have a problem with any of the modifications or adjustments that they've requested. Anxious to hear how they, you know, about that, I suppose. But what I don't understand is why we have surrounded these houses with pavement on front and back. Why can't the units be oriented so that the garages take access off the abandoned old county road, and that would reduce the grading, it would create more open space, would probably provide more lawn or landscaping on the backside, and it would orient the view of those houses to, you know, primarily to this beautiful riparian area, which, and rather than in across a paved road to the backs of commercial buildings. So I don't have any problem with any of the analysis that's been done, but I think this is really a site plan that could be dramatically improved, and it would be less costly for the applicants. It would be a better place to live. And I went out there and I'm just confused by how this was developed, this plan came about. So I don't know if you have a comment about that, or maybe that's directed to the applicants, but I wanted to be clear that the abandoned area is going to the commercial properties to the east. And I might just add to Public Works, the likelihood of that connection of Las Tablas through the riparian properties over the creek is pretty remote, David, but be that as it may.
Commissioner Maltari, I would like if like the applicant's design team speak to how they site their development. Mm-hmm. And then maybe Public Works could chime in on the road usage, the shared road usage.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, and before we get to the applicant, I have a question. Could you put up the plat map showing the elevation lines and the creek, similar to this, but it's...
This is a bit messy.
Just showing the elevations relative to the creek.
Is it something like this one?
That would be okay. Okay. So where would be the high water mark for that creek during, I don't know, 100-year storm or whatever we use in standard?
I think.
So can you, with your cursor?
It's the blue.
The blue line here.
Oh, okay, the
blue
line.
That's the 100-year flood, the 100-year limit.
Okay, fine. Okay, now we can go back to the applicant, I guess.
Hi, good morning, Chair Brown, members of the commission. This is Jamie Jones with Kirk Consulting, and we're excited to be here today. We think that this is a really good project. We think it will provide a much needed housing in the community of Templeton. We have our project team here that will be, we have our civil team, architectural team, bio team, as well as the owner that will be available to answer questions. And we do have a short presentation where we can hopefully answer some of the questions we've heard so far as site design from Commissioner Maltari. And with that, I will turn it over to Francisco Vargas. Francisco is a senior planner with Kirk Consulting, and this might be the first time he's been before your commission, maybe. So we're excited to turn it over and let him provide the presentation today. Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Good morning, Planning Commission members, and Jamie, thank you for the introduction. I'm going to share my screen now so I can walk you through my presentation. Okay, it says it's sharing now.
Okay.
So again, my name is Francisco Vargas. I am with Kirk Consulting, representing the applicant Toad Creek Terrace, LLC, on this vesting tentative tract map and conditional use permit SUB 2019-00046, track 3132. This is an overview of my presentation. I'm going to expand a little on the topics mentioned by Shawnee, starting with the location and closing with the consistency to the housing element. Again, this is the location of the property outlined in yellow. It consists of two APNs, 041031005 and 013. It is located at the intersection of Old County Road and Gibson Road. It is zoned residential single family, 5.63 acre parcel within the Templeton urban area. So as Shawnee mentioned, this project site does have some constraints, beginning with the gentle slopes kind of leading inwards towards Toad Creek, which creates the west side, limited access to the west side portion. However, access to the eastern section remains off the corner of Gibson and Old County Road down here. Another site constraint was the offer of dedication, recommended by Public Works midway through the application process. And just to take a step back, based on the acreage of this property at 5.63 acres, we could have theoretically, based on Title 22 standards, designed 32 units. And due to the environmental site constraints of Toad Creek, we reduced that to 22 units, and unfortunately reduced that to 20 units due to the offer of dedication being kind of over the units 21 and 22 here.
Francisco, before you go on that point, the acreage, the 32 units would include the remainder parcel. Is that correct?
It would, yes.
Okay, so don't oversell it. Tell us what's really going on, okay? That would be my advice on something like this, too. So continue, but anyway, I'm sorry. Okay. I apologize.
No worries. And so this area shows, aerial shows the enlarged development area. Just wanted to point out that the development will avoid the riparian vegetation and the Toad Creek corridor area. So that riparian vegetation somewhat follows this line here. I hope you can see my mouse.
Yes.
And working through those site constraints, I think we were able to minimize the Toad Creek impacts as much as possible, and we clustered the development to the east. We were able to provide two large open space parcels totaling 2.52 acres, which exceed the required Title 22 requirements of 1.34. And as far as the design, early on we met with Templeton Fire to make sure access was adequate for the site. And that's where it was determined that a rear driveway was kind of necessary for adequate access, and two fire truck turnarounds were strategically placed based on their feedback, one along the at the end of the first driveway and one just around the back. And I also wanted to point out that the 100-year flood limit is along this blue line here, and we're completely set back from that. As far as any riparian vegetation impacts, the development itself will not be impacting any riparian vegetation. Later on in the process, when we connect to the sewer line, there will be some temporary impacts in this area to connect to the existing sewer line that runs along the riparian vegetation here. And that will be mitigated as needed. The project is proposing three community gathering areas. We are required to provide 6,000 square feet, and we're proposing a little more than that with 6,115 square feet in these areas shaded in yellow. So I think Shawnee touched on this a little bit. We are offering a trail easement to the this was a request from the Parks Department. In talking to them, they don't see a timeline for this or this happening anytime soon. Might be 10, 15 years, but they still want to plan for it. So we offered that in our design. These next few slides will show some of the architecture. I just wanted to point out that this project was designed to kind of blend into its surroundings and the existing topography. We are essentially creating a development that will look two stories from the public views. As Shawnee mentioned, this is the view from that fronting private driveway looking west. The project is also, as I mentioned, proposing open space area of 2.52 acres, mainly covering the Toad Creek corridor. And I also wanted to clarify, this isn't, of course, one long structure. It is a series of structures. There are 10 structures, and each structure will have no more than 2 units each. Lastly, I wanted to mention that we did go through the TAG process where the majority recommended approval. These are some other renderings of the project site. Again, this is a view looking west. You can see the two stories. And this is a view from the rear driveway looking east. The garage kind of below the grade, and then two stories on top of that. These are other renderings kind of with the similar views, just to show the different materials used that meet the Templeton design guidelines. I wanted to close with the consistency to the recent housing element update. This site was identified as a vacant site able to accommodate housing in the county's recently adopted housing element. It assumed the property could realistically accommodate 11 above moderate income category units. However, the use of the cluster provisions and other tools in the county's toolbox allowed for flexibility in the design standards, which resulted in more units than contemplated, with 20 units versus the 11 units. With this, I would like to request the Planning Commission to approve the project, adopt the MND prepared for the project, approve the vesting tentative tract map, 3132, conditional use permit SUB 2019-00046, based on the findings in Exhibit A and C and conditions in Exhibit B and D. These are the team members, in case you have any questions for myself or any of them. Thank you.
Yeah, and this is Jamie Jones again. For some concluding comments, the owner, Steve Sahadi, is also on the line. I believe he's been promoted as a panelist, so he can provide some comments. And he was interested in providing comments to talk more about the design. Commissioner Moltari, you were asking why were we not front-loading the garages along that private, what's to be the private access road to the site. And I know that he has spent a lot of time in the site design, and so I would like to have him talk you through that a little bit, if your commission would allow that.
Yeah, I would like to ask Secretary how many people we have lined up for commenting on this.
Brown, at this time, we have not received a request to speak on this item
from
the public.
All right. So after we hear this presentation, we'll take just a very short break. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you. Steve Sahadi here. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you. Just a very brief comment on design. We spent about 2 years with planning staff trying to come up with what has been presented to you today, primarily trying to blend the design standards with making a project that we felt was really good from a resident's point of view. The natural topography is what allowed us to sort of tuck the garages underneath the living area and still maintaining the sort of the two-story views from Main Street and Templeton generally. I think, however, the most important thing that we were trying to accomplish is to orientate everything towards the creek, which is a beautiful creek and a big selling point to this project, but also allowing the residents to have a certain degree of privacy living right off of the main street in Templeton, and letting their actual front of the houses act as a fence or a barrier. So the kids can be riding their bikes or skateboards in front of the garage and really living and enjoying the common areas, with sort of having the protection of the houses act as a barrier from the residents to sort of the main activities of Templeton. So I know there was some question about design. A lot of effort and a lot of thought went into to design to try to balance all those requirements and constraints.
Mr. Sahady, I appreciate all that, and I think elements of the design are commendable. I like the idea that you took advantage of the topography, which is difficult to work with. If we're abandoning Old Country Road, why can't that abandoned right-of-way be used for the houses? Why can't we pull them farther from the creek and just have one driveway that has two turnarounds? Why can't we just, because I don't see where it serves any purpose except put more paving in. Why don't we turn that? Why don't we just pull everything closer to the east and have one full-size driveway with two turnarounds on the creek side?
All right. We need to access the part of Old County Road that is being abandoned is actually our access road now.
No, I understand that, but I'm just saying you're building a whole new driveway in the back. Why couldn't we pull? Why can't you pull? It seemed like it'd be a lot less expensive for you to build if you pull those units forward, you know, to the east, and then widen the road in the back, the driveway in the back, completed the turnaround as you have. And it just seems to me this is a real waste of your valuable land there.
Yes. Yes, it would be much cheaper to build. But we don't feel that the project would be as good, primarily from a living point of view. And additionally, because of the topography, we're able to get two full stories of living, which, again, from the residents' point of view and from Templeton's point of view, will make a better living product. Mm-hmm. And so that's what, again, this was all studied. It was discussed and rediscussed, and what we concluded was that this was the best design for everybody concerned, myself, the county, and obviously TAG. We had three TAG meetings, and it was just sort of a lot of compromise to get the TAG people to you know, get their input and get comfortable with what we were doing. And so there was a lot of changes that were made.
Okay. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay.
Jamie, do you have other presenters?
No, that would conclude our presentation. But again, we do have the architect, the engineer, and the biologist. Okay. I'll stand by ready to answer any questions that your commission may have.
Okay. Commissioners, are we ready to make a decision, or would you like a very short break first?
Chairman Brown, if I could just interrupt for a second. This is Benjamin Dorr with County Council Office. I just want to make sure, even though there is no public comment, that public comment is opened and we allow an opportunity.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. So is there public comment? Do you have public comment?
Well, Chair Brown, I can certainly ask the public if they wish to speak.
All right, why don't you do that, yeah.
If for any member of the public that wishes to speak on this item, please do so at this time by using the raise hand feature at the bottom of your screen or by pressing *9, and no requests to speak have been received.
No requests, so the public comment is closed. Commissioners, what would you like to do? Vote or break?
I have one question, and then I'd be just as happy to vote and not take a break. And this is in reference to a Commissioner Moltari's thoughts about looking into a park, people parked cars. And perhaps the applicant can answer and help me answer this. My opinion, because we did talk about this, was that the car parking was going to take place further north. And it was an ingress and egress to the retail or to the commercial properties, not necessarily room for a lot of parking. Can someone comment on that?
Jamie Jones?
Perhaps.
Sure. So to understand your question, it is that the property that is to the east of us, if there would be parking located along that street, is that the question you're asking, Commissioner Campbell?
Yes, I was of the opinion there was an ingress and egress to the auto repair particularly. And Commissioner Motari kind of gave me the impression that, you know, people would be able to park all the way along that area there. I didn't think that to be the case.
We don't see that to be the case. You know, we only control what we control on our property, but we're looking at on our property, the area that's going to be abandoned is going to be the access point, you know, and it's just, and it's a 20 foot wide road compliant with fire standards, and that we don't see the property to the east as being a parking lot that's owned by Mr. Merrill. We've met with him. We've talked to him about that interface, and it's not in either of our interests to have, you know, a row of parking on all sides there.
I did the same thing. So that's where I was coming from with my question, because I know that was the Merrill property that we're concerned with a lot.
Right. And we did meet with Mr. Merrill several times in my office as well. So he's familiar with the project and familiar with our plans and was supportive of what we brought forward.
I can make one comment. Having lived out of Templeton for over 50 years, that corner down there around Dana Merrill's offices, et cetera, and the juncture of the road to the Main Street has always been a mess and always piled with cement blocks and this, that, and the other thing. So I see this as a way to kind of clean up that whole ingress and egress there.
Okay. Any other comments from commissioners?
I'm having a real hard time, not with any of the design, any of the modifications, any of the exceptions, the density, all of that's, I think, is perfectly acceptable. I'm just having a hard time with this site plan. I really am. I think it's a I know that they've worked on this for a long time, but I have to kind of follow my own conscience and judgment on this, and I'm having a real hard time with it. I'm just letting you the other two commissioners know that.
Yeah, basically you're still questioning the orientation of the houses.
I'm questioning why we need to put paving on the front of the houses and paving in the back of the houses for the entire length. You know, even if you look at the second fire truck turnaround from lots 9 through 1, it's just a dead end driveway there anyway. And so what do we need? I appreciate that you want to put the garages on the back, but I'm also not seeing why the private drive abandonment of Old County Road isn't used more for the project and just devoted to a long 24-foot wide private drive with very little front lawns to the front doors. And then in the back, yeah, the kids are going to ride their skateboards and stuff, but when they come out the back, they're going to have paving and shared paving. There's no yard or anything like that. There's these common areas, and they'll go down the creek and enjoy that, I'm sure. So I wish it didn't bother me so much. But anyway, I've said enough. You get my
Chairman, I have a comment. In discussing this with people, I know one factor that existed was that TAG was very concerned about seeing three-story structures in Templeton. And they got around TAG and got their agreement by utilizing the slope of the land to so-called hide the garages. So I understand what Commissioner Motari is saying from his point of view as a planner, but there was a trade-off done here. And so okay. I think I can live with it because of this trade-off of getting through the TAG commission, the TAG people, and satisfying the needs of the developer. And that's what it was to hide the garages using the slope.
Understood. Thank you.
Does that get to the heart of what you were saying, Commissioner Motari?
Sort of.
Sort of. I, like,
yeah, you know, it's I hate coming in at the end of a 2-year process, and but on the other hand, what I dread most as a planning commissioner is going out 3 or 4 years from now, looking at a project and saying, "Boy, did we make a mistake?" And that's what's bothering me here. I don't want to go out when this is built and say, "What, this was not a proper use of a beautiful site that could have been developed in a better way." But I don't know. I think Commissioner Campbell may have convinced me that the compromise was necessary.
To me, the 2-story, 3-story issue is pretty important. I don't know if it goes any further than that, but I can see why.
Given that comment, commissioners, I will make a motion to approve this negative declaration and approve vesting tentative map 3132 and conditional use permit SUB 20190046 based on the findings listed in Exhibit A and C and the conditions listed in B and D.
I'll second that. Ramona, would you call the roll?
Commissioner Campbell?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
And Commissioner Moltari?
Yes. I'm reluctant, yes, because I really think this is not the best design we could have had. But it's a yes anyway.
Okay. We will take a short break and regroup at 10:30.
Okay. And panelists, to mute yourself. Mr. Hedges, if you could unmute your connection.
The next item is item 12, a continued hearing to request by Port San Luis Harbor District for a minor use permit, coastal development permit, county file number DRC 2019-00161, supervisorial district number 3, Lacey Minnick, project manager. And if there are any members of the public wishing to comment on this item, please use the raise hand feature at the bottom of your screen or by pressing star 9 if you are joining us by phone. Please do this at this time in order to be ready to be called at the public comment portion of the hearing. Please continue with your presentation, Ms. Minnick.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Good morning, Chair Brown and members of the Commission. My name is Lacey Minnick, and I am a supervising planner in the Department of Planning and Building. First, I would like to bring your attention to the fact that on November 12, 2020, the applicant requested that the Commission continue this hearing item. This request is included in your agenda packet as Attachment 4. Before I begin my presentation of this item, I'd like to ask if the Commission would like to consider this request at this time. If so, the applicant, Andrea Luker, the Port San Luis Harbor District Manager, is available to answer your questions. And I'd also like to note that planning staff is prepared to present this item today and does not share the same recommendation for the Commission.
Lacey, this is Chairman Brown. I think we should consider the continuation because the difficulty, I'm not saying that we should consider it. We've talked about it at least once, if not more than once in the commission. But the difficulty that it would generate for the commercial fishermen if they just simply had to abandon those sea trains. So,
Commissioner Brown, if I can, what I would recommend is maybe a straw vote to see if Commissioners Campbell and Matari are amenable to the continuance, and then take public comment and then follow up with a formal motion on that.
Sounds like a good idea.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
I have some ex parte. I spent yesterday quite a period of time with the harbor master, and they gave me a tour of the entire site, so I have some pretty good firsthand information of where we stand.
That would be good during our discussion phase. I'd like to hear you. My understanding is that they are trying to find a site for those, and for some reason, that site is not developed as quickly as we thought it would be. Commissioner Mulcherry, how do you feel about this?
Well, the dilemma is that the site that they're going to move these to is the Harbor Terrace site, which is under construction. They ran into some difficulties with archaeology and cultural resources that delayed this. I would want to know, Lacey, and maybe Ms. Luker could explain is how long of a continuance do they want?
Okay, so let's have a straw vote to discuss the continuance. Ramona, could you call the roll for a straw vote just to continue to discuss the continuance?
Chair Brown, John with County Council again. It sounds like at least two individuals are amenable.
Okay,
to
so we don't.
So maybe
I don't know these days. I don't.
Yeah. So I'd recommend.
I get in trouble one way or another. But so let's go ahead and have the discussion.
I can assure you that Andrea Luker will fill you in on all the details here if she gets the floor.
Andrea?
Yeah, yes, good morning, commissioners. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Wonderful. I will just very briefly let you know that we did have about an 8-week delay this summer due to cultural resource issues. Those have been resolved at this point. Currently, we have all the underground utilities are completed. The fine grading is occurring this week. The concrete and asphalt in the actual gear storage area is expected to go in early January. And road paving to that site only, not the entire site, but that site only, is scheduled for mid-January. I would say that if we could continue until March, we are likely going to be up on the site before then. I'm going to say it's a construction project. I think I said this the last time, and I appreciate your working with us. It is a construction project, but we're very close. And again, this is has been given priority on all other parts of the project to relocate our commercial fishermen back up on this site. Is that helpful to you?
Yes. So you're saying that you would start construction March, or it would be done in March. Okay.
And Mr. Chairman, I can attest to what she said. I might expand just a little bit on it. First of all, this is a major undertaking.
Yes.
Terracing that hillside, a lot of dirt has been moved. I was quite impressed with the fact that basically it's pretty much laid out ready for pavement where these units are going to go. So in what she said is totally correct. Of course, it depends on weather, et cetera. But I observed that all of the major dirt moving was done, and they were down to the final finished dirt movement so that they could pave. And I saw all the water was in, sewer was in, everything was in. So they're ready to move that stuff as soon as they can get it paved.
Okay, do they need permits to actually finish that grading? I mean, under what permit are they doing this work right now? John, were you going to say something?
This is
probably more appropriate for Lacey to do that.
Lacey?
Answer that question.
Sure, I'd be happy to answer that question, Lacey Minnick, planning staff. The Harbor District the Harbor District and their developer, Red Tail Construction, is doing obtained a grading permit from the county, and then construction permits from the California Housing and Community Development Department, because this project is a recreational vehicle/mobile home establishment.
So they're okay with the permit for the work they've done so far.
Yeah, the project on the hillside, where we're going to, the question here is they had to move this fishing equipment off the site that they're doing the construction on. That construction site has been in the works for, the project has been debated for decades, literally. Finally got approval from the county, the Coastal Commission, everybody that needed to get it approved. And we're going forward with it, and they're getting close. So this is an awkward thing, but there's no sense in my mind forcing them to move it when they're so close to completion, or the portion that's necessary to get rid of the C train containers.
Right.
Is there anybody in the public?
I'm sorry.
I was just going to ask, is there anybody in the public who?
Yes, I'll go to that. Lacey, I'll give you the last word on continuing.
I don't have anything else to add.
Okay. Now, so this, again, this is a motion to continue this. If you have other information you'd want to give on this project, go ahead and put it in. But we really are going to continue this, it sounds like.
Maybe.
And I don't know that we have a date for a continuance date yet, but we'll establish that. So go ahead, if we have people from the public that would like to express themselves.
Thank you, Chair Brown. No requests, no pre-recorded messages were received for this item. However, if members of the public wish to speak on this hearing item at this time, please do so by using the raise hand feature at the bottom of your screen or by pressing *9. And no requests for comment have been received.
Okay. Would somebody like to further?
Can we continue this to, our first meeting in April?
as
at which
motion.
Time it should be moot.
Commissioners, I have notified the project manager of the dates in March that are available for which Ms. Luker has requested a continuance to.
Okay.
Lacey, if you want to bring that up, please.
Yes, it's
March.
Sounds like the March 25th date is available, but I would need to ask Ms. Luker if that's a date that she is seeking the continuance to before confirming with you.
Thank you. This is Andrea. I think March 25th is fine.
Okay.
All right.
So,
Mr. Chairman, I move continuance of this item to the March 25th meeting.
I will second that.
Okay. Ramona, would you like to? Oh, yeah, we've done that. So go ahead and call the roll.
Commissioner Moultari?
Yes.
Commissioner Campbell?
Yes.
And Chairman Brown?
Yes.
The motion passes.
A crazy way to deal with the issue.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Next item, Ramona?
Hearing item number 13 is a hearing to consider a request by Rossi and Phillips 66 Pipeline Company, LLC, for a major grading permit. County file number PMTG2019-00065. Supervisorial District Number 5, Project Manager Cindy Chambers, and if there are any members of the public wishing to comment on this item, please use the raise hand feature at the bottom of your screen or by pressing star 9 if you are joining us by phone. Please do this at this time in order to be ready to be called at the public comment portion of the hearing. Please continue with your presentation, Ms. Chambers. Thank you.
Thank you, Ramona, and good afternoon, or I guess it's still morning. Good morning, Chair Brown and Commissioners. I'm Cindy Chambers, Project Manager for this grading permit and EIR project. This is a brief summary of the project before you. Phillips 66 owns an oil and gas pipeline easement that crosses the Santa Margarita Ranch between El Camino Real and U.S. 101. Hydrocarbons present in the soil along the pipeline requires remediation in two locations. The remediation project requires a county major grading permit and environmental review, but no land use permit is required. An initial study and a draft environmental impact report, or EIR, were prepared to address potential impacts to air quality, biological resources, geology and soils, transportation, and cultural and tribal cultural resources. Impacts to cultural and tribal cultural resources are considered to be Class 1, significant and unmitigable. Three public responses to the draft EIR are addressed in the final EIR before you today. County Grading Ordinance Chapter 2252 provides that an EIR prepared for a grading permit requires the Planning Commission hearing process to publicly consider and adopt findings and to certify the final EIR. Here we have the vicinity map showing the 900-acre Santa Margarita Ranch parcel. It's located between the U.S. 101 on the west, State Route 58, and Santa Margarita Urban Reserve on the south, and El Camino Real on the east side. The city of Atascadero is to the north. This is the land use map. The site is located in agriculture land use and is used for grazing and special events, bordered by rural lands with grazing and residential uses to the east and north, and by ag to the west, with the community of Santa Margarita located to the south. This aerial view shows the subject parcel outlined in yellow. The general path of the pipeline easement is shaded in green, bisecting the parcel, and the Phillips 66 pump station is visible across El Camino Real to the northeast. That's up in this area here. There are two 8-inch diameter petroleum pipelines in the easement, and a 6-inch diameter natural gas line. There are two areas of hydrocarbon contaminated soils along the pipeline. The western remediation area is the smaller area to the southwest, located in undeveloped pasture. The eastern remediation area is the larger area to the northeast, nearer to the ranch headquarters. The overall area to be utilized by the project is approximately 20 acres for staging, stockpiling, access roads, and truck turning movements. Existing ranch roads will be used on site for access. This is the detail of the smaller western remediation area. The black hatching areas indicate the four excavation targets along the pipelines affecting approximately 750 linear feet of the pipeline. Area 4 is bisected by the creek, so this is 4A and this is 4B. The creek itself will not be disturbed. The remainder of the red outlined area will be used for the staging, screening, and stockpiling areas. Excavation will range from about 50 feet to 150 feet in width, and this portion, the western remediation area, involves about 2 acres of excavation and replacement soil. This is the eastern remediation area. This area involves approximately 3 acres of excavation for remediation in 4 locations identified as areas 5, 6, 7, and 8, along approximately 1,500 linear feet of pipeline. Existing ranch roads will be used to access the sites, and grading work will avoid the creek channels and oak trees. The eastern remediation area is near the ranch complex buildings and includes an existing corral and part of an orchard. Grading on the two areas combined includes 83,851 cubic yards of excavation, which includes a 2.5% contingency. Fill soil to restore the site to existing grades is estimated at approximately 92,670 cubic yards of clean overburden and clean fill. Project access for vehicles in and out, including the trucking of contaminated soils, is via this road right here in the blue circle. This is Stagecoach Road. It goes directly onto State Route 58 near 101, and traffic control will be utilized as approved by Caltrans. The clean fill soils will come from on-site, utilizing cut from constructing on-site agricultural ponds. They're located here in the yellow circle. And they're right along the ag roads that will be used to access both eastern and western remediation areas. The agricultural ponds are permitted by the landowner as a separate project. And the remediation project has a corrective action plan, or CAP, CAP, approved by the Central Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board. The project will utilize techniques approved for safe excavation around the pipelines, dewatering, soil sampling, and off-site waste disposal as described in the CAP and the final EIR. The project requires a county major grading permit for grading on slopes over 10% and requires compliance with CEQA. While it does not trigger a land use permit, the grading ordinance specifies that when an EIR is prepared for a grading permit, the Planning Commission process is needed. This is the plan detail showing you the source of fill soil. There are 3 ag ponds permitted for construction by the landowner, and they're located just south of the western remediation area. The 2 southerly ponds will be completed first, with the cut stockpiled onto the location of the 3rd pond, shown in red, until this project's grading permit is approved, and then that stockpiled soil can be moved to the western and eastern remediation areas. As that soil is moved, the 3rd pond can be excavated, and then that cut will be sent directly to the remediation areas. Coordinating use of this project soil as fill saved on cost and impacts to air quality and traffic for both projects. Then the environmental impact report that was prepared ensured that the grading project is designed and conditioned with mitigation measures to minimize impacts related to air quality, biological, cultural and tribal cultural, geology, and soils, and traffic circulation. The remediation excavation to be completed will be done between April and October of 2021. Contaminated soils will be trucked during off-peak hours in order to avoid traffic impacts. And the ag ponds providing the clean soil have reduced trucking and air quality impacts. The soil remediation is necessary in order to protect groundwater from existing hydrocarbon contamination. Jeff Oliveira from Oliveira Environmental Consulting
prepared the EIR as the county's consultant, and he will provide a summary of the impacts and findings for that report.
Thank you, Cindy. Good afternoon, Chairman Brown, members of the Planning Commission. I'm Jeff Oliveira, the county's EIR consultant. And through the county's initial study checklist, it was determined that the majority of the project impacts that Cindy introduced can be mitigated to less than significant levels, with the exception of the impacts to cultural and tribal cultural resources, triggering the need for the EIR. And through extensive site surveys and tribal consultation, it was determined that a portion of the proposed excavation underlies archaeological site CA SLO 1430, which represents a unique assembly of significant resources with a high level of tribal importance, which is likely to exhibit further intact and as yet undiscovered cultural and tribal cultural resources, including human burials. Although the project was designed to avoid impacts to the extent feasible, a portion of the soils proposed for remediation lie directly underneath the archaeological site, representing the unavoidable impact to known and potentially undiscovered cultural resources. The final EIR identifies mitigation requirements that include avoidance where feasible, tribal consultation, archaeological surveys, data and laboratory analysis, curation and repatriation of the materials on site, as well as worker sensitivity education and extensive construction monitoring of the project. Next slide. There you go. Because full avoidance of the resource is not feasible, the county has the ability to adopt overriding considerations under the CEQA process. This stipulates that although impacts would be reduced to the extent feasible with the required mitigation, these impacts will remain significant and unavoidable. Therefore, a statement of overriding considerations discussing the project benefits against its environmental impacts is required, and it's included in the project CEQA findings. That concludes my portion. I'm available for any questions and turn it back to Cindy.
Thank you, Jeff. Sorry, my phone started ringing. staff recommends that the Planning Commission take the following actions. One, to certify the final environmental impact report, including the attachments. Two, adopt the CEQA findings, including the statement of overriding considerations and findings in Exhibit A. And three, authorize the chief building official to issue a major grading permit for the proposed project, subject to the mitigation measures and conditions in Exhibit B. The applicant's agent is here for to speak on the project, and he has his team on standby also in case you have questions that require technical expertise. I'm going to turn it over to Ole Acosta with that.
Okay.
Good morning. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Good morning. My name is Ole Acosta. I work with for AECOM Engineering, and I am the agent for Phillip 66 and part of the applicant team for the project. We've been working on this project for approximately 2 years. In that course of time, we've worked with the tribes to make sure that the project was aligned with in procedures with what would be expected for the project to reduce impacts. We've worked with several agencies to make sure that our project design minimized impacts to air, traffic, and other resources. And so we are excited about the project. We're hoping that we could move forward with the project. We've also worked with Mr. Rob Rossi, the landowner, to make sure that the project was completed in a timely manner within his schedule and objectives for our project. I do have our technical team here. I have engineering, biology, and cultural tribal, if there's specific questions that need to be addressed by them. And at this time, I just like to request that if there is questions that we are granted the opportunity to answer those questions directly about the project.
Okay. Okay, Cindy, is that the end of the presentation?
It is.
Okay.
All right, commissioners.
Is there anybody who needs to speak on this from the public?
Chair Brown, would you like to open public comment?
Yes.
Great. For members of the public wishing to speak on this item, please request to speak by using the raise hand feature at the bottom of your screen or by pressing star 9 if you're joining the meeting via telephone. And no requests to speak have been received, and no pre-recorded messages also have not been received.
Okay, so we will close to public comment. Now, back to commissioners.
Well, Mr. Chairman, this is, one of those projects where the regional board has required remediation of contaminated soils. All these agencies have been working on this for years, and obviously the biggest concern has been with the cultural resources, but it appears that the tribal parties affected by this most likely are accepting of the conditions and the circumstances. So I think we should move forward with this, and I'm ready to make a motion if there are no other comments.
I will make a comment here. As an amateur historian, this is a spot that really has going to have some problems because irregardless of the fact we have a paved El Camino Real, that was not the original trail of our ancestors and the indigenous people. Nor the Padres, et cetera, et cetera. They came right through this area along the Salinas River as they went towards other missions further north, meaning San Antonio. So it's going to be a big challenge to get through this because they're bound to find archaeological situations that they're going to have to mitigate. So I agree with Mr. Moltari that it's all been well planned. But I just want to emphasize that they got their work cut out for them on that trail.
Yeah, they do. This is.
And actually, I have just one question, and that, I guess, would be to Cindy. You're fixing just those areas that have leakage, which look to be maybe like 10% of the total pipeline. Is that true, or are you enclosing the whole pipeline?
The two areas that are identified were I think I'm going to let Mr. Acosta respond to that because there's the discovery of contamination started in the 1990s with some pipeline replacements, and it's been an ongoing process of investigating, testing. There's been extensive testing in these two areas to isolate the contamination and. I feel like Ole has better history on that than I do.
Okay, yeah, I'm not looking for a long technical. I'm just curious as whether or not this will.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, this.
Yes. To answer the question, that is correct. We're only addressing, if you could go back to the figures, but we're only addressing the small excavations along the pipeline alignment. And those are within the red line of the maps.
Yeah.
So we're going only remediate those areas. We've also from previous assessments, we understand a little bit, not that we understand all of it, but we understand where there is some highly sensitive cultural material. And one of the county's requirements is to develop an avoidance plan. And we're working with the tribes and our archaeologists to make sure that the avoidance plans is suitable for the project and minimize impacts.
Okay, I guess that's good enough. So, commissioners, did you make that motion?
No, and
did we get a second?
Yet, but I can. Again, I think that the staff and the agencies and the tribes have coordinated very well on a difficult project, and it's something that's required by the regional board to clean up contamination. So I've reviewed the final EIR, as I'm sure you guys have as well, and so I would move approval of the major grading permit. And I guess first I would approve certification of the final EIR, including the statement of overriding considerations that are included in the CEQA findings in Exhibit A, and approval of the major grading permit and subject to the conditions in Exhibit B.
Is that
the proper motion?
Looks like it to me.
The commission is not actually approving the grading permit. You're authorizing the chief building official to approve the grading permit. But
okay.
That's just the difference between a land use and a building permit.
Then we're,
clarification.
Yeah, I'll modify the motion to say that we're authorizing the chief building inspector to official to approve the major grading permit subject to the conditions.
Second concurs.
Thank you.
Mona, would you call the roll?
Mr. Moultrie?
Yes.
Commissioner Campbell?
Yes.
And Chairman Brown?
Yes.
The motion passes.
Thank you very much.
Hearing item 14 is a hearing to consider a request by Emilio Cortez for a conditional use permit. County file number DRC 2019-00058. Supervisorial District Number 4, Jan DeLeo, Project Manager. And if there are any members of the public wishing to comment on this item, please use the raise hand feature at the bottom of your screen, or by pressing star 9 if you are joining us by phone. Please do so at this time in order to be ready to be called at the public comment of portion of the hearing. Please continue with your presentation, Ms. DeLeo. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members of the Commission, good morning. I'm Jan DeLeo. I will be presenting this item. The project proposes only indoor cannabis activities. The cannabis activities include indoor cultivation within 8 new greenhouses, indoor ancillary nursery within 2 new greenhouses, indoor ancillary processing, cannabis storage and manufacturing in an existing metal building. The metal building will be required to obtain building permits for the new occupancy. Ancillary transport, which allows the applicant to transport cannabis grown or processed on site to specific license types, and 1 acre of related site improvements such as composting, water tanks, etc. The project would operate year-round, 6 days a week, between the hours of 6 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. Up to 8 full-time employees are proposed. There are no additional employees or hours of operation during harvest times. 2 modifications are proposed, a parking modification and 2 security fencing modifications. Project is located off of Mauskal Road, east of North Thompson Road. The purple polygons in the slide are other active cannabis applications in the area. The urban reserve line is shown as pink to the west and southwest. The project site and adjacent properties have an agricultural land use designation. The red broken line shows the property lines. The area shown in pink is the proposed location of cannabis greenhouses. The area marked in blue is the location of an ephemeral drainage. No development is proposed near the ephemeral drainage. Nearby existing dwellings are shown above. The closest residence is located roughly 200 feet to the southwest. This is the closest residence here. This is the project site plan. The yellow squares are the proposed cultivation greenhouses. The green squares, ancillary nursery greenhouses. The orange is the proposed metal building, which contains ancillary processing, cannabis storage, and manufacturing. The project includes an all-weather access road from Malskal Road and a Cal Fire turnaround. Elevation and floor plans for the cultivation and nursery greenhouses are shown in the slide above. Elevations for the manufacturing processing building. And then these are the floor plans for the manufacturing and ancillary processing building, as well as in the top up here in the kind of salmon color is the modular office restroom building. The proposed cannabis activities are greater than 1,000 feet from sensitive receptors. In this case, sensitive receptors are schools and parks. It's greater than 100 feet from other off-site residences. Indoor cultivation and ancillary nursery meets the setback, canopy, and order requirements. All proposed greenhouses would incorporate and be conditioned to have a proven technology for odor control. The manufacturing processing building meets the setback and odor requirements. Similar to the greenhouses, the processing building would incorporate and be conditioned to have a proven technology for odor control. The project includes secure entry gates at Malskal Road, another gated entry near the greenhouses, security cameras, and fencing that will all be reviewed and approved by the Sheriff's Office. The project is proposing 13 parking spaces versus the required 71. The cannabis ordinance does not contain specific parking requirements for cannabis activities. As a result, staff uses the nursery specialty category in the land use ordinance. It has been found that cannabis is not as labor intensive as nursery specialties. In this case, there's additional area on site for unimproved parking. The project will be conditioned to have a maximum of 8 employees and a minimum of 13 parking spaces. With these requirements, staff is recommending approval of the requested parking modification. The applicant is proposing 2 security fence modifications. Proposed security fencing in this case is a 6-foot tall chain link fence with privacy slats. The cannabis ordinance requires that all cannabis activities be enclosed by security fencing and that security fencing not be located in the required setback area. One modification is security fencing proposed within the side setback. So here you can see the blue dash line is the proposed security fencing around the nursery greenhouse and the cultivation greenhouses. It is proposed within the side setback. The second modification is no security fence around the processing building. And again, in this area, they're proposing no security fencing. In this case, the required setback for security fencing would be 30 feet. The Planning Commission, with findings, may modify the project's security fencing requirements through the project's conditional use permit. The required finding is that specific conditions of the site and or vicinity make the required fencing unnecessary or ineffective, and if applicable, would enhance neighborhood compatibility or minimize impacts to viewshed. The Planning Commission may waive the requirement for completely enclosing cannabis activities with security fencing where structures provide the functional equivalent. In addition, the Commission may modify the setback requirement for the location of security fencing. The picture on the right is a blow-up of the area near the proposed greenhouses. It shows there is adequate area to provide the required security fence outside of the required 30-foot setback. The picture on the left shows the distance to the adjacent residence on a separate parcel. It is located roughly 200 feet to the south. The adjacent residents would potentially view the security fence and share this fence. The sheriff's office sometimes requires security fencing that is greater than 8 feet tall, sometimes with barbed wire. The location of the proposed fence could reduce security since it is also accessible to the neighboring property. In addition, the security fence may be visible via visual concern to the adjacent neighbor. In terms of no security fence around the processing manufacturing building, these structures will be subject to the security requirements of the sheriff's office. Staff is recommending approval of this portion of the fence modification, subject to final review and approval by the sheriff's office. The sheriff's office would determine if the processing building provides the functional equivalent and provides adequate security. In terms of the security fence within the side setback, staff is recommending the project security fence be located outside the side setback. The project is not located in the level of severity 3 water basin. The estimated water demand is 2.95 acre feet per year. A 2016 pump test indicated the on-site well can produce 15 gallons per minute. A recently submitted 2019 well report indicates the on-site well can provide up to 20 gallons per minute. The project will be monitored 4 times per year for the life of the project. Project conditions require the well to be metered, water conservation methods for cannabis activities, and the project not exceed the water demand of 2.95 acre feet per year. The project was referred to numerous departments and agencies, as is noted in this slide. The environmental document, a mitigated negative declaration, was issued on October 1st, 2020, with recommended mitigation measures for aesthetics, air quality, biological resources, energy, greenhouse gas emissions, hazards, and transportation. In June 2019, the South County Advisory Council reviewed the proposed project and recommended denial based on the project's proximity to Napomo High School and concerns regarding potential odors. We have recently received numerous correspondence regarding this project. The commission should have copies of the public letters, emails, and a petition that was circulated. Some persons have provided support for the project. Others have raised concerns regarding odors, water, potential agricultural impacts, and other items. On December 8th, 2020, staff issued a Planning Commission memo, which has been posted on the Planning Department website, with minor corrections to the MND staff reported conditions. Staff can review these changes if the Commission wishes. Prior to taking action today, staff anticipates additional comments or changes to the conditions may be necessary. Staff is recommending that the Commission adopt the mitigated negative declaration subject to the CEQA section noted in the slide, with the corrections indicated in the Planning Commission memo dated December 8, 2020, and approval of the project based on the findings in Exhibit A and revised conditions in the Planning Commission memo dated 12-8-2020, along with any additional condition changes indicated as part of this hearing. Staff is prepared to respond to questions you may have regarding comments received either prior to the hearing or as a part of the public testimony at the hearing. In addition, Linda Akenike with the Ag Commissioner's Office is available for questions, and I believe Jamie Jones with Kirk Consulting is in attendance to speak for the applicant.
This is Commissioner Brown. You're asking for questions, and one is, what was the advisory committee's specific reasons for opposing this?
I believe the advisory committee's letter is attached, and the primary concerns were the proximity to Napomo High School. I think they had concerns, for example, that they're the running team runs down Mascal Road. And so those are some of the concerns, as well as odors, and they raised other concerns as well.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know that there's anything that we can do about where the team runs. I guess that's it. Any other?
Yeah, I have just two questions for Jan. First, I didn't see any comments from the school district. Did they provide any? I know it was referred to them.
No, they did not.
And then secondly, I think you'll be able to answer this question. If this were a greenhouses for like roses or berries or something like that, would they need a discretionary permit?
No, they would not.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. We have public comment.
Would you like to speak or hear from the agent, Ms. Jamie Jones?
Oh, sure.
Hi, good morning, commissioners. This is Jamie Jones, and I will be providing a presentation this morning. Let me see if I can get myself situated. Is everyone able to see my presentation screen?
We are.
You are? Okay, great. Great. And my pointer is showing up for you?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, great. Well, good morning again. I am Jamie Jones, and I am here to present on behalf of the Cortez family. We also have Jessica Miller, a planner with Kirk Consulting, that will be helping me with any technical questions you may have. She has been the project manager for the project over the last couple years. So the applicant and property owner is Emilio Cortez. The property highlighted in yellow is just over 22 acres in size. It is zoned agriculture. It's developed with two existing residences and various ag and storage buildings. And the property, as you can see on this slide, is surrounded by similarly sized parcels. The property, again, highlighted in red on this slide. Things going on in proximity, as you can see, the high school mentioned in the presentation is located to the west of the property, about 1,900 feet straight line distance. And there is quite a bit of agriculture that's going on surrounding the property, both active and fallow operations, rotational farming, and orchards and vineyards. And the site does have pretty convenient and direct access to Highway 101 via Willow Road. This slide provides a few visual perspectives of the site. Emilio and his family, including his two children, live on site. They live in this house located right here. This structure identified here is also a residence, and that's currently rented. There are miscellaneous ag and storage buildings on the site, and these buildings right here will be utilized for cannabis operations and are proposed to be utilized for cannabis operations, and other structures will be required to be removed as implementation of the conditions of approval. These project well is located next to the rental house. The property has been rotationally farmed since before the purchase of the property by the Cortez family in 2007. Mostly irrigated vegetables have been grown on the property. The farm fields represent about 11 to 12 acres of the site, and it was farmed up until in 2018, there was a lease to farm the property, and the farming lease was not renewed in 2018 as the land use permit had been filed, and we didn't want to enter into a lease until we were had an outcome on the land use permit. Shown on this slide is the overall site plan. The project does include 10 greenhouses, 8 of which will include will be used for mature cannabis. Those are highlighted in yellow. And then the two greenhouses highlighted in green will be used for supportive nursery. The greenhouses are set back from the property lines as required by the land use ordinance. As a reminder, the land use ordinance requires a 30-foot setback from the property line for indoor cannabis uses, and we exceed those setback requirements. And one other item that might come up during public comment, I would like to note that existing access will be provided from Melchell Road. And there is an access that does go out to Hans Place, but that access is not proposed to be utilized for the cannabis operations whatsoever. So that will not be used. The property is a vertically integrated project, and that in addition to the ancillary nursery and on-site processing, it will also include on-site manufacturing. The on-site manufacturing will allow some of the cannabis grown on site to be processed to oil, and that will occur in this building here. And these existing buildings will be required to be upgraded to commercial occupancy requirements. As noted in the presentation, all cannabis activities will occur indoors. The greenhouses are proposed to be enclosed greenhouses. And what does that mean? It means that they will not have roof vents. As you know, some greenhouses have the vents on the roofs. These will not have roof vents, but there will be air exchange through vents, and these vents will be located on the walls of the greenhouses. The greenhouses will be equipped with carbon scrubbers at the vents to filter the air before it exits the building as part of the odor mitigation plan. And there will be downcast fans provided at any entrance or exit points of the building to further ensure the odor is contained within the greenhouse buildings. And provided on this screen are some example photos of greenhouse, their conceptual elevations. The owner had previously considered the use of the element air system that was included in your report. That after we've talked about it, and after further discussion over the past couple of weeks, the owners opted to proceed with the enclosed greenhouse program. And the reason being is that for this particular operation and where this is located, the enclosed greenhouse will provide for better control and management, especially as it relates to the adjacent agricultural uses and pesticide applications occurring on those properties. And we'll touch on that a little bit later in the presentation. And then as shown on this picture, the greenhouses will also be equipped with blackout curtains to ensure the light is contained within the greenhouses. Ms. DeLeo did touch on the fencing modifications. And we have already revised our fencing plan to comply with the recommendations that the exterior fencing around the greenhouses be outside of those setbacks. So we're willing to accommodate that request. And we are still proposing a fencing modification around the manufacturing and processing building. And we will provide fencing if the sheriff department requires it. But at this point, we'd like to request a modification for fencing for that building. The project does include manufacturing, and there will be a small area in one of the existing buildings to accommodate manufacturing. This is a non-volatile extraction process with the end product being cannabis oil. The security plan will receive thorough review and inspection by the Sheriff's Department. We can guarantee you that. That's an exhaustive process. And the greenhouses will have perimeter fencing, as we showed on the previous slide. The buildings will be alarmed. Security cameras will utilize infrared technology to ensure the potential for light pollution is further reduced. There will be no sales or distributions associated with this project and no public access or signage. The project will use up to 2.95 acre feet of water per year. The project will be served by an existing well. This well was installed by Ron Taylor Drilling in 2011, and we did have a four-hour pump test completed by M&W Pumps out of Santa Maria in July of 2019. The test verified that the well produces 20 gallons per minute. It was a consistent 20 gallon per minute rate with very little drawdown and a quick recovery. In addition, the owner will implement water conservation measures, including recycling and reuse of water and a water catchment system for nutrient mixing. Adjacent uses include the high school. As we talked about, the high school is located just over 1,900 straight line distance from the property. As you know, your ordinance requires a 1,000-foot setback from schools. The nearest offsite residence is about 342 feet from the proposed greenhouses. There is existing vegetation that separates the greenhouses from the properties to the north, and there is some intermittent vegetation along the eastern property lines. Your commission has received quite a bit of community input for this project, and the input was focused on odor concerns, proximity to high school, potential for conflict with traditional ag, as well as a substantial amount of support. And I would like to touch on those issue areas as I conclude my presentations. So when we look at odor, as we've talked about, all cannabis farming, processing, manufacturing will occur indoors. There's no outdoor operations associated with the application, and the greenhouses will be equipped with odor mitigation technology, specifically carbon scrubbers, to ensure the air is treated and odor is removed before it exits the building. And again, important to note that we are exceeding the county setback requirements of 30 feet. There was a petition that was circulated in opposition to the project, and that was provided in your commission package. And when you read the petition, it infers that the Cortez family is not in support of the schools or the important services the school provides. And the owner is in support of the schools. We don't think that this project will have an impact on the operation or activities related to the school.
We're located well over 1,900 feet from the school, and the greenhouses are set back over 600 feet from the nearest public road, being Malshall Road. So they're set back to the rear of the property, not readily visible. And our project will not utilize chemical or pesticide applications that would be hazardous to the students that may be jogging or using Malshall Road for other uses. There is no public access to the site. There is no signage, and the site will be secured to prevent trespass. Also, as part of development of the application, whenever Emilio came to us with the application, he included one acre of outdoor cultivation as part of the project. And as we talked about it as the project team, and I don't want to say we convinced him, but it was our recommendation the site was better suited to focus on indoor cultivation and not include outdoor cultivation based on the proximity to the school and the other ag operations. And so I think this is an important slide because it's come up not only on this project but on other projects, and it's just how is cannabis compatible with traditional ag? And I think, this really starts with a partnership between neighbors and being able to maintain an open line of communication and recognizing that there's a certain mandated responsibility that rests with the pesticide applicator to ensure pesticides are applied safely and that they don't drift off site. And applicators should be familiar with the best management practices and aware of adjacent properties that might have sensitive uses, including the schools, even beekeeping. On other sites, not cannabis related, some of our clients have had their bees damaged by pesticide overspray, as well as organic operations. So regardless of who or what lives next door, pesticides should stay on the property in which they're applied. But it comes down to communication. Communication is key. Notification should be provided to neighbors when pesticides are being applied so people can shut their doors, shut their windows, be aware. And so we, as the cannabis operator, how can a cannabis operator be proactive? Can make sure that the neighbors have their contact information, provide setbacks from the offsite crops, shut greenhouse vents during times of spraying or pesticide application. And based on the design that we're looking at implementing, that will be a lot easier to do than with the roof vents. And, it comes down to the conversation. It shouldn't be us versus them. It's how do we work together to coexist? And so we feel that with this project, that we've taken our neighboring agricultural families into consideration in both the design of the project, using the greenhouses, not having roof fence, not proposing outdoor cultivation, and providing setbacks well in excess of the county requirements. In addition, Emilio is willing to not oppose Condition of Approval 79, and Condition of Approval 79 requires Emilio to indemnify adjacent operations in the event that there is a lawful drift of pesticide onto the property, which would impact the crop. And just for your benefit, I'm sure you've all seen it. You're familiar with this condition. It's much longer in your staff report. But this condition of approval was developed by the County Ag Department and County Council's office to further mitigate the potential conflicts between traditional ag operations and cannabis projects. I think it was our attempt, the county's attempt, to proactively address the conflicts that they were seeing in Santa Barbara County. And again, Emilio is willing to adhere to that condition of approval. Lastly, your commission has also received a number of letters in support of the project. Emilio and his family would like to be on record to thank his neighbors and others in the community that continue to support him through this journey. And with that, I thank you for your time and for listening to my presentation. We would just like to conclude the project complies with the land use ordinance. Your commission has talked a lot about cannabis and the ordinance and where should it be, what should it look like. And I think what we've heard continually from your commission is that the indoor operations, there doesn't seem to be a conflict with indoor operations occurring in the agricultural areas. So with that, we'd request the commission approve the project subject to the findings included, including the modification for the fencing and the parking modification and the 80 conditions of approval. And with that, we're available for questions and concludes my comments.
Okay, at this point, we would normally take public comment. How many public comments does it look like we have?
Thank you, Chair Brown. At this time, we have two requests to speak from the public.
Okay, let's go ahead and get those.
Very good. So, members of the public wishing to speak on this hearing item can do so by using the raise hand feature at the bottom of your screen or by pressing star 9. Our first request to speak is by Salvador Perez. Mr. Perez, the clerk will now attempt to unmute your connection, and you will have 3 minutes to speak. You're live. Mr. Perez, your line has been unmuted. Okay. Nope. We could go ahead and move on to the next speaker and then try to connect with Mr. Perez again. And the next request to speak is by, looks like an email address, perezmom325. We will now attempt to unmute your connection. And your line has been unmuted, and if you could please state your full name for the record. The attendee joining us with the email address of Perez.mom, your line has been unmuted, and it looks like you accepted that request from the host. So if you'd like to speak on this hearing item, this is your opportunity. Chair, if you'd like, we could move to pre-recorded messages and then circle back with
certainly
comments.
Yes.
Very good. So we did receive pre-recorded messages for this item, and I will now provide that to the commission.
Hello, my name is Stephen Senna. It's spelled S-T-E-V-E-N, and my last name is spelled S-E-N-A. I'd like to make a public comment for the December 10th, 2020 Planning Commission hearing, agenda item number 14, Emilio Cortez, DRC 2019-00058. I am a retired Los Angeles Police Detective Supervisor. I have known Mr. Cortez for over 15 years. He has always impressed me with his hard work, dedication to his family, and being a responsible property owner. I know that he has researched all facets to this subject and has followed the steps given to him by his lawyers to stay within the complex legal guidelines set forth by the state of California. We have talked about his proposed structure for growing along with the state-of-the-art air filtration system going in and out of the structure. This should mute any environmental concerns since the product will not be seen in an open field or the odor emitting during growth and harvest from an open field. We also discussed when he does have a finished product, he prefers to provide his product to a medical field distribution or a college for research. I also discussed with him about the planning of a security system to protect his family, personal property, and the business structure involved. Sorry. I believe that any opposition to the permit for Mr. Cortez would only come from not understanding the stringent environmental and complex legal guidelines by the state of California, along with not knowing him and his pride in his family, community, and his integrity in setting forth environmental plans and answering concerns for the safety of his family, friends, and neighbors. I believe that Mr. Cortez will continue to be an asset to your community, and taxes collected from Mr. Cortez can be used to assist in the growth plans of the local community. I will end my comment with an old phrase: all of this is a win-win for all. Thank you for your time, and take care.
Hello, my name is Monica Ibarra. I would like to provide comment, public comment for the December 10th, 2020 Planning Commission hearing. Agenda, for number 14, Emilio Cortez, DRC 2019-00058. Thank you.
Hello, this is C.M. Florence, F-L-O-R-E-N-C-E-A-I-C-P. I'm a principal planner with Oasis Associates, Inc. I am addressing Planning Commission item number 14. Good day to you, dear planning commissioners. Thank you for the opportunity to address a commission on conditional use permit DRC 2019-00058 and ED19-239. The public record includes our November 16th comments on the mitigated negative declaration, and I am hoping that you have an opportunity to review them. As you know, CEQA Section 15074 requires that the decision-making body consider the proposed MND together with any comments received during the public review process. In addition, it requires that you adopt the MND only if it finds on the basis of the whole record before it that there is no substantial evidence that the project will have a significant effect on the environment and that the MND reflects the lead agency's independent judgment and analysis. I acknowledge and thank staff for preparing the errata sheet on the Notice of Determination, Draft MND, and Conditions of Approval, as your decision must be based on accurate and well-considered information. With that said, the following represents our comments to the issue areas in the MND. The initial study checklist and why ag resources was not a chosen section for analysis. Odor management, we're simply asking the question as to the type of system being proposed. Aesthetics and the description of the project in the context of the neighboring properties. And finally, hazard and hazardous materials and the related mandatory findings. Given the proximity of Napomo High School, Central Coast New Tech High, Napomo State Preschool, and the Cielito Migrant and Seasonal Head Start programs, staff's errata sheet attempts to correct the distance from the project site to the sensitive receptor school sites, but again, incorrectly so. As the crow flies, and based upon the county's GIS buffer mapping and the criteria found in LUO section 22.40.050, the distance is 1,824 feet or 0.34 miles and not roughly 1 mile between the project site and the sensitive receptor school site. I do look forward to your considered deliberation, and I want to thank you for the opportunity to comment.
Hi, my name is Liz, L-I-Z, McCarter, M-C-C-A-R-T-E-R, and I would like to leave a comment in regards to case number DRC 209-00058. In regards to the project that Mr. Emilio Cortez is wishing that it may get developed. I am one of his neighbors, and I've lived in the Meshell Road for about 15 years. He is a very well put together young man, and so I see no problem allowing him to take part into this opportunity that a lot of people like myself. I am a breast cancer survivor twice, and now I'm dealing with a brain tumor. We know that cannabis has been tested, and there's statistics that show that, you know, it works for medical purpose. And I truly believe in it, and I wish that you all would participate and maybe allow him to do this. I think this would be money to the county. We need tax money. I think it would be a great project. It would open up some jobs, which we need to help our community right now that we're in need. People need more jobs. I think this would be a great opportunity. And, of course, the county would get money for taxes, which would help. I totally support this project, and I hope that you do, too. Thank you, and God bless.
Yes, hello. My name is Carlos McCarter. That is C-A-R-L-O-S, last name M-C-C-A-R-T-E-R, and I am calling to provide a public comment for the December 10th, 2020 Planning Commission hearing, agenda item number 14 for Mr. Emilio Cortez, DRC number 2019-00058, to say that I am in full support of his cannabis operations proposal. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Lindsay DeGroot, Lindsay, L-N-D-S-E-Y, DeGroot, D-E-R-O-O-T. And I am calling to support DRC 2019-00058. It is a project that is coming up on December 10th. And that's for Mr. Emilio Cortez, agenda number 14, and I support the cannabis project that he has in mind. I think it's a great thing. I think it's an organic plant, and I think it helps a lot of people like my age, 75, and it's helped with my cancer. I support this. Thank you.
Donna Melchow, M-E-H-L. S-C-H-A-U, December 10th, 2020, Planning Commission, item number 14. I am calling in opposition to this project. The notice of Planning Commission hearing lists the land use category as agriculture. On page 29 of 149 of the negative declaration states, quote, cannabis cultivation is not considered agricultural crop production, end of quote. This is really the problem with cannabis permits in ag zone land surrounded by ongoing agricultural operations. One needs to stop and review the Bureau of Cannabis Control text of regulations. This document is 138 pages, and I know of no other agricultural product regulated in such a fashion. While the Cortez application contains a waiver to protect neighboring agricultural uses, it would not prevent a lawsuit coming forth costing money to defend. As a former owner of this property and current bordering neighbor, I can tell you that there is not one thing that is historical currently located on the property, not even the well. Are all of the current improvements permitted? As a longtime resident and farmer in the Napomo Valley, I can tell you that water is an ongoing issue. I find it difficult to believe that a 15-gallon per minute well tested in 2016 is proof of an adequate water supply. Properties to the south and east have taken permanent crops out of production due to lack of water. In closing, Attachment 1, Item E states, quote, the proposed project or use will not be inconsistent with the character of the immediate neighborhood or contrary to its orderly development, end of quote. A 27,000-square-foot non-agricultural greenhouse surrounded by a 6-foot-tall security fence, locked entry gates, and security cameras is definitely not consistent with our current Napomo Valley historical ag usage. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Diane Adam, A-D-A-M, and I live at 695 North Dana Foothill Road in Napomo. My comments are for December 10th, item number 14, the Cortez Conditional Use Permit for 375 Melscow Road. First, I'd like to comment on the degree of difficulty communicating concerns on this item. I've submitted many comments to the MND, and I'm still not sure if they've been recognized by the commissioners, let alone reconciled. I suggest that conditional use permitting be halted until the pandemic is over. I've written or telephoned Mr. Cortez and Kurt Consulting in response to each Dear Neighbor letter I've received starting in the spring of last year. March of 2019, I had a friendly conversation about the timeline, lights, smells, and beautifications. Again, over the phone in April of 2019, I questioned the next Dear Neighbor letter that contained many changes to the original and was told the land use was misidentified, the historical aspect statement would have to be reviewed by Mr. Cortez's counsel, the beautifications and improvements were not permitted, and that they figured it would be okay and would happily remove them if the county asks them to. In June of 2019, I witnessed a presentation at the South County Advisory Council by Kurt Consulting that falsely stated, and I quote, the neighbors are generally okay with this project. At that time, I sent a letter to the to Kirk Consulting, Mr. Cortez, the Advisory Council, and to Supervisor Compton. In July of 2019, yet another Dear Neighbor letter arrived with more clarifications and changes to this project. Fast forward through the rest of 2019 and the many conversations about both cannabis and hemp grows in San Luis Obispo County, which all of you are aware of, here we are in December of 2020. The mitigated negative declaration has many questionable statements and should be reviewed more carefully. I highlight a few of mine here. Water. Some regard this as the biggest issue of importance in Napomo. Neighbors have had to cease ag operations and even had to purchase truckloads of water at times to serve their homes. Historical. There were absolutely no buildings or even wells on this site less than 20 years ago. I'm not sure what historical is. Entrance to the project. Of course, there's the big, beautiful one on Melscow Road, but have you looked at the one on Hans Place? Aesthetics. Locked gates, cameras, nightlights, and security fencing are not in keeping with current or rural nature of this neighborhood. Litigations. I do not have time in 3 minutes to even begin concerns by orchards and vineyards. Thank you so much. I invite any and all of you to come on a field trip to Napomo.
Chair Brown, that concludes the pre-recorded messages, and we'll go back to the live public comment. And we do have a request to speak from an attendee joining us with the email, Perez.mom. We will go ahead and attempt to re-unmute your connection. And
okay.
User with the email, Perez, if you could please state your name for the record, and you will have 3 minutes to speak. Okay. We're trying to make connection with Perez's mom, and even Salvador Perez. I don't know if you are associated, but we are trying to give you the opportunity to speak if you request.
So he's muted.
The email address is unmuted.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did I see a phone number?
So the user, Salvador Perez, your line has been unmuted and you have accepted the host's request to unmute your connection. If you're having difficulty joining the meeting via a smart device, you do have the option of calling in to the meeting. And I can provide you that phone number and also the meeting number information. The phone number to call in is area code 669-900-9128, and the meeting number is 851-1782-2581. Chair Brown, if it's if you wish to, you know, maybe move on to
discussion,
and we could see if we could make connection with this.
Okay. Say if they come back, let me know.
Okay, commissioners, any thoughts on this?
Well.
Yeah, my thoughts exactly.
Well, here's my thought. It's, we've discussed these cannabis things time and time again. This is an entirely indoor operation. It's going to have carbon scrubbers on it. It meets the setbacks from sensitive receptors. I don't see where pesticides or fertilizers or sprays are going to be a problem, because it's entirely within these greenhouses. And as I suggested earlier, if this were roses or berries in greenhouses, it wouldn't even have to come to us. They could just do it. And those operations actually probably would have more impacts in terms of pesticides and so on, because they're not entirely enclosed and unvented. I know that this is an emotional issue for people, but I think it's out of fear of cannabis just as it is, rather than really thinking clearly about what the true impacts might be. So I would also point out that about a year ago or so, this commission denied a use permit for an indoor cannabis operation in Napomo that was much closer to many, or as actually was closer to many more houses than this one is. It also was immediately adjacent to a public trail and easement that was used by recreationists. And it was also near, with less than 1,000 feet, to an open space owned by the Nature Conservancy and used for educational purposes. So we denied it for what seemed like good reasons, and went to the Board of Supervisors. Board of Supervisors overruled our denial and approved it for largely the reasons that we've talked about now. And it seems to me that this is even more benign than the one that was approved by the board. So I don't see grounds for denial of this permit.
Is that a motion?
Well, I think I'd want to hear from Commissioner Campbell and yourself if you have any other additional comments, and then to see if the Perez's can make contact with us. I would note that we have reviewed their written comments that they submitted.
Hi, Chair Brown, on that note, I would like to point out that we do have a request to speak from a phone number, and if it's your discretion to allow.
Yes.
Okay. Very good. So, caller with the last three numbers of 864, we will now attempt to unmute your connection, and if you could just please state your name for the record, and you will have 3 minutes to make your comments. And there we go. Your line has been unmuted. And
okay, thank you. Can you hear me now?
Yes, and if you could probably turn off or lower the volume from your other device, because we're hearing a large echo.
Okay, thank you very much. Yes, actually, I couldn't unmute my phone, so but now I'm just calling directly on the phone. Okay, well, my name is Salvador Perez, and I actually live on 325 Melstrom Road. So my property is the one that you guys see on the map right on the corner of Mr. Perez's property. So for me and my family, this has always been a big concern.
And just to mention, my house is only 300 feet from where he is planning to place his greenhouses. So it's definitely really close. And now, I mean, it's nothing new for anybody how difficult it is to live close to a cannabis cultivation farm. I don't think it really doesn't matter what equipment he uses or whatever, the smell, it just goes everywhere no matter what. And so far, I mean, I have searching, and there's nothing that will prevent that from getting to my house, being so close. And also for us, it's not only the bad smell, but it's also a safety issue. Mr. Cortez talks on his proposal about having security fencing, private gates, and security personnel, and so on. Of course, he's protecting his investment. But what about my family? I don't have any of those safety measures. Now, I hear yesterday that he has a few people, and even now, was watching the reporters of neighbors that are actually there in favor of his project. Obviously, they are not living right next to his property, so in reality, this is not a problem for them. But on another hand, for me, it is. And right now, I mean, it's my problem, my biggest problem that I ever faced. But for someone else, might be in the future. Who knows? I mean, the other point that we're kind of forgetting to mention is, of course, the high school is really close. It's less than a mile away, it's almost like half a mile. And the high school here in Pomo is totally surrounded by agricultural fields. So right now is Mr. Cortez. Tomorrow might be another neighbor on the other side. So, I mean, let's look at the future. What are we going to end up with all these new cannabis projects surrounding our schools? So for me, it's a big concern, and also for the whole community in Pomo. This is really complicated, especially because it's, I mean, for me to do it by phone or online or whatever, but there is a lot of opposition in Pomo. We just don't want cannabis around our schools and our neighborhood. So it's simple as that. So that's probably my my biggest point that I want to mention. Also, if I have time, I want to mention that just in an hour and a half that we went to Bones grocery store here in Pomo, we collect 80 signatures in an hour and a half in opposition to his project. So in reality, I mean, nobody wants it except for people who are totally away from this project or don't even live in the neighborhood. So please take in consideration my points of view and the way we feel. And thank you so much and have a wonderful day.
Thank you very much. That was well felt, I can tell.
Chair Brown, and I just want to advise the commission, we are coming up on the 12 o'clock hour.
So, commissioners, do we want to go past 12 o'clock? I'm seeing a nod of a head.
That would be okay with me.
Okay.
It would be also.
Okay.
I'd move that we go past 12 o'clock.
Second.
Do we have to have a roll call?
No.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. You were in the middle of a motion or sounded like you're winding up, and you wanted to hear from others. This is probably one of the cannabis applications that has fewer problems than many of them, and I do remember that case in the Pomo. And, the Planning Commission, I mean, the supervisors did override us. So, in general, though, I think that it is a very difficult decision for myself to...
We just moved to leave it after lunch, so let's go eat lunch.
Wait, do we want to eat lunch or not?
I thought we voted to do that.
No, we voted to go past the 12.
Oh, did we? I'm sorry.
Yeah, cool down.
We're all cool.
It's very difficult for me to vote for one of these things for lots of reasons. I've known, I've had people personally involved in cannabis problems, and it's something that unfortunately we have to separate ourselves, you know, from personal beliefs and try and go by what the ordinances have left us with. And but I'll vote for it. It's cleaner than most. I don't, this is like one of those that I'm not happy about, but I will vote for it.
I do have one question for the applicant's representative.
Yes.
If we can, Ms. Jones, are you available again?
I am here, present and willing.
Can you screen share the site plan, please? Is that possible?
Of course. Just give me one moment. Get that back up. Almost there.
Are you doing it? Yeah, I can see it. Thank you.
Okay, great. Uh-huh.
Would it be, I wonder if it'd be less impactful on the Perez household if the access road and turnaround were on the opposite side and the greenhouses were oriented the other way, away from the southern property, I guess that is, and more towards the north. That way, any openings, any deliveries, any traffic on that access road would be buffered by the greenhouses.
I should get.
So meaning taking, can you see my pointer?
Yes.
Sure. So taking this access,
and put it on the other
here,
side.
And then orienting all the active openings
away from the house.
I don't see any reason why that wouldn't be possible.
Okay. So.
And I just received a message from Mr. Cortez that that works, that he's completely open to making that modification.
Okay. That would require a different either condition of approval or a change in the description of the project. I think it would help the Perez's. It won't satisfy them, but I think it would help them if that was moved farther away and on the other side of the greenhouses. So,
sure. I think that could be added as a condition of approval that a revised site plan be submitted prior to issuance of building permit to relocate the access drive to the north of the greenhouses and orient the
openings
towards the north.
Yes.
Sure.
It seems to me that just that description should be enough rather than continue it.
Yeah, I would think so. I guess I got to ask staff, if we made a motion with that language, would that be sufficient, or do you need to draft the actual language and show it to us?
Commissioner Moltari, this is Steve McMaster, Principal Environmental Specialist. Yeah, we would need to revise, because we have to include a condition that requires a revised site plan that does what you've described, so we'll have to verbally describe it. So we will have to revise the conditions. I think there were also some minor corrections that right. we need to show to make sure for the record that the commission is in agreement. So we could do that now, take a 15 to 20 minutes, and we could prepare those and have them ready, or the commission could break for lunch and we could have it ready after lunch.
Why don't we break for lunch?
Why don't we break for lunch, but it certainly doesn't need to be an hour and a half.
No. Could we...
Hour? 45 minutes?
Yeah.
How long?
Up to the commission how long you want to take for lunch. We'll work on it during your time period.
I'm asking commissioners, do you want to make it an hour?
More than 45.
Yeah.
More than 45?
12:45. Yeah,
all right.
12:50, that would be fine.
12:45.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. At this time, if all commissioners and staff can please mute your connection, and we will advise when the meeting will be reconvening. Thank you.
Thank you.
I've never had to do this. Okay, after a very brief lunch, we're back at it again. I am told that there is somebody that's trying to call in, but I did close public testimony, so we'll not take that call. And where were we? I think...
When did that call come in? I think it's important we look at that. I'm having a real problem with people being able to participate in our hearings. Some are non-techie like I am. Others are a little scared of the phone. I don't think we're getting the feedback that we have gotten in the past during this Zoom method. So I, for one, would take anybody that wants to talk.
All right. Don, as usual.
In my opinion. The rest.
Let's go ahead.
Very good. We do have one request to speak that came over during the lunch hour with a caller ending in the last three numbers of 123. We will now attempt to unmute your connection, and if you could please state your name for the record. And caller with the numbers ending in 123, the clerk and host are attempting to unmute your connection, and your line has been unmuted, and you will have 3 minutes to speak.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay. My name is Elizabeth Perez, and I'm also my husband. He just spoke, Salvador Perez, and since everything started, let me tell you that I have not been able to sleep thinking about having this on the back of my yard. It's on my kitchen view. It's very, very disappointed and sad that Mr. Cortez has 22 acres in his property, and he wants to put this greenhouse right on the back of my kitchen, like right on the back of my door. Also, for the safety, I feel very, very unsafe that I have four kids, and, you know, they're homeschooled right now, but I feel very unsafe that there's cannabis going into my backyard. Probably, you know, I'm old-fashioned, but I just...
feel very unsafe. Also, you know, being so close to school, I have two kids that go to high school, and being so close, I mean, you can see the cannabis. Actually, there's a lot of neighbors, they thought it was ours because it's on the back of our property. So a lot of our neighbors didn't even talk to us, thinking that we are the ones that are having this cannabis on the back, which I was very, very sad to hear. I'm sorry, I'm very emotional, and I'm very, like, upset that Mr. Cortez just thinks about his wealth and not think about our safety. Like my husband say, you know, he has fence, he has a gate, he has money, so he can put a lot of stuff. I mean, when we bought this house, I wanted to be, you know, when I became old and you know, have my grandkids coming over, but now it's like it all this changed. So I really would like you guys to think about it. There's, like I said, only because of COVID, I wasn't able to get more signatures because people are scared to open the door. People are, you know, scared to even get the pens. But I don't know how many more signatures you need. I mean, we got 325, and I know there's a lot of letters that went for the neighbors that they don't approve this in our neighborhood. There's a lot of people that walk through to Meshcorp Road, not just the Nipomo High School kids that they do the cross country, but there's a lot of people that walk through that street. And we want to be able to provide like a safe place for people to come. You know, with Nipomo, we don't have a lot of places to like people for walks, but that road has been used for people that run like every day or use the bicycles. So I really, really would like you guys to think about this and help us keep our, not just my house, because I'm more the most affected, I guess, because it's in the back of our house, but the whole neighborhood, the whole, like I say, if you go to high school, you will see that those greenhouses. There's also like during soccer, there's a lot of kids that go and play soccer at the high school. So I don't know. And also the economy, like my house, my value of the house might go down too. And also the well. If he starts using the well, we don't have no water. And I don't know if you guys consider that because he put his well so close to ours.
Mrs. Perez, I'm going to have to interrupt you. Could you just sum up real quickly because your 3 minutes is up?
Okay. Can you guys please think about my family safety? That's all. Please.
Thank you very much. Unfortunately, as I was trying to say earlier, the problem we have is ordinances that the Board of Supervisors have given us that we have to go by. Think about the kinds of things you're talking about all the time, but there's so much that we can do, unfortunately. All right, so now we are closed to public correspondence and bring it back to the commission.
Question for staff. I usually get a lot more letters than I receive in this situation here. And now we have the close neighbor saying that they had 325 signatures opposing this project. We haven't seen any. Has the county received that, or how would we have?
That was submitted, Don.
Was it? Okay.
I looked at it. It was on the website somewhere.
Okay, I just must have missed it on the computer. Yeah,
I don't know. Were you able, Jay, to see that?
I didn't go to the website. I didn't see it in my packet, but
there's just for the commission's knowledge, there is three attachments of correspondence that has been uploaded to the website, and Ms. Hedges has periodically emailed the commission regarding correspondence that has been received for any item on your consideration.
Yeah, sometimes we have letters in our packets, sometimes we don't, and I don't know.
I think my problem was that when I receive something like this PDF, well, I poke it and it comes printed out, and I print it out so I can take notes on it. When I have to find it somewhere on a website, and don't have a way of really printing it out or knowing that it's there, I think that's my problem. It's probably my fault because I'm not a techie. But in the future, I'd sure like to see these kinds of things put in a PDF form so that we could copy them if we wish to.
Commissioner Campbell, I send the link to the correspondence received for all items on the agenda 4 to 5 times a week. The reasoning for me sending the link is because if I sent you an email each time we received correspondence, you would be blogged with emails continuously. And we had to break the correspondence received for this item into 3 parts, as there are many, many pages. And the link that you receive, you simply need to click on it, and you will be right there at the correspondence.
Mr. Chairman, I see that staff, Ms. DeLeo, has her hand raised.
Yes, do you have a revised condition?
I do, Mr. Chair. Do you want me to go through those conditions now?
Yes, please.
Can you see that?
Yes.
Okay, so we've revised the conditions.
Ms. DeLeo, if I may, it looks like we are looking at your inbox for your email. So if you could stop share and then perhaps reshare with your document only.
Sorry.
We didn't really see that yet.
How about this time?
Yes.
There we go.
Okay, so the conditions have been labeled revised conditions of approval with the date, today's date on it, 12-10-20. There are changes to the first page. We added a 1D, which you were notified before, correctly indicating the size of the modular to 750 square feet. We added a condition 1L you can read this too, but I'll read it to you. A revised site plan with the CAL FIRE turnaround relocated to the north of the greenhouses instead of the original location to the south. The orientation of the greenhouse entry shall also be moved to the north. Any exterior ground-mounted mechanical equipment unit shall be located on the north side of the greenhouses unless otherwise authorized by the county. And we just, because of the previous orientation of the greenhouses, we were a little concerned that there might be noise equipment that was previously on the north side that now would be moved to the south side. So this condition was an attempt to address that.
Good.
There are no changes to until you get to page 5. And page 6. As noted previously, we deleted previous condition number 41 because it was a duplicate of condition number 20. And when we were revising the conditions, I inadvertently got rid of the EN for the mitigation measure, so I put that back in for the new condition 41. And we took care of, there was duplicate conditions 45 and 46. We've taken care of that. Condition 46 has been deleted because it is redundant of condition number, I can't read my writing. I think it's 31. And then we also renumbered the conditions that were redundant, and all of the conditions did not result in being renumbered. And then condition number 60 also needs to be corrected. This condition referred to the chain link fencing with privacy slats around the outdoor cultivation. They don't have any outdoor cultivation. It has been corrected to state indoor cultivation. And that is the extent of the changes. And I would just note that for your motion, the first part of the motion regarding the mitigated negative declaration did not change. However, the second part of the motion should address the revised conditions of approval listed in revised Exhibit B, dated 12/10/20, which I just went over.
Okay. If you're ready for a motion, Mr. Chairman, I
certainly am.
May I ask one question before that?
Of course.
A question for staff. What is the distance between the proposed structure and the Perez house?
From the property line, it's 200 feet, and it's, I think they have another 119 feet as a setback from the greenhouses, so about 300 feet.
300 feet. Okay.
I want to be clear to the people that spoke regarding the MND that reviewed the MND and the corrections that were made, and don't feel that they were that they changed the findings or conclusions as a result. So, with that, I would move that we approve conditional use permit. Get the exact number. CRC 2019-00058, subject to the revised conditions and based on the findings in the staff report, and including the mitigated negative deck as revised in the staff presentation. Dies for lack of second.
Go ahead, Don.
Pardon? No, I don't wish to. I'll just tell you why. I consider our residence with kids to be a sensitive receptor, and that's too darn close for comfort.
Well, unfortunately, I'll have to make a second. I said what I meant. I don't like it. Frankly, don't like many of these projects, but we have to follow the ordinances, so I'll second it. Ramona, would you please call the roll?
Commissioner Moultrie?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Campbell?
No.
The motion carries.
And as always, a reminder to anyone who's unhappy with the decision, you can appeal it to the Board of Supervisors.
Yes, indeed. They're taking a lot of them these days.
Yes.
I think we're finished. Is that true?
I think so.
Yes. Motion to accept all correspondence and testimony into the record, please.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion to accept all correspondence and testimony. Oh, I did that. Motion to adjourn then.
And commissioners, may I interrupt in saying that our next regular meeting of January 7th is now going to be canceled because we do not have any continued items from this meeting to go to that meeting. And our next meeting will be on January 28th.
Okay. Everybody have a great holiday.
All right. Here's the motion to adjourn. I guess.
Yes, there's a motion to adjourn. Yes.
Technically. I hope everybody, thank you. Everybody have a good holiday. See you in the new year.
You bet.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Have a good holiday.
Thank you, everyone. Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Thank you, staff. Bye now.
Thank you.